because while they're fun to watch, so much of it seems like so unnecessary. Just pouring things into other things, you know, like this seems so unnecessary. However, we have like built-in shelves now, like built-in cabinets. Ooh. That we're using for our pantry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I do think I need at least some like big bins, like to like compartmentalize, separate out. Like,
you guys are speaking my love language.
Some
over
of the stuff. Yeah. Cause otherwise,
so
it just
turned on right now.
Looks like you've thrown a bunch of shit into a closet. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want to see.
I'm like Marie Kondo. I love that kind of mess. If you allow me to clean it, I'm like, please let me organize that for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even still, like, I came in and I told Cassie, I'm like, my back is tweaked today, and she's like, and I was like,
she's like,
no.
Me and Eric, and I was like, oh shit.
And I was like, well, no, it's from redoing the closet. I was like, actually though, I'm to the age where that is just as satisfying as throwing my back out doing other activities.
How old are you?
I'm old enough that I literally fell asleep last night thinking about how clean the closet was.
Yeah,
I was like,
satisfying. Mm-hmm. I know, dude. I know.
Wow. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, everybody. Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Already messing this up.
Hey, that's okay. So this is officially like our July.
Yes.
It's our anniversary.
Yeah, it is.
3 years. Wow. And no shortage of bad dates. They still come.
No, they're coming in strong and hot. In fact, yesterday I went to a party type thing, and I was talking to people about the podcast. And the minute you tell people what you like, you have a podcast that's all about bad dates, mm-hmm. people come out of the woodwork to tell you they're bad dates.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, did you get something spicy?
I mean, I got some decent ones. Not ones I was like, hey, write in like a full story. But like, there was one where she went on a date with a guy, and like, they went to his place first pre-date, and like, were making out. And like, while they were making out, he like stopped and was just like, I just came. In his pants.
No.
Just like casually was like, hey, let's go to dinner now.
No. Would you like to change your pants?
Yeah, or just going to go like sticky icky to dinner.
No, come on.
And so then they get back after the date, and like, she goes back to his apartment, and he just goes to sleep.
Oh. But
he just like takes a nap, like lays down on the couch and is like, good night.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Well.
Bye.
Always things like that.
Amazing.
Well, I actually came across an article that was in the Guardian, that says, "We've come to expect being treated badly on dating apps." And I was like, in other words, water is wet. But it's a really interesting article just about how, and I think it struck me because we just had that conversation about trolling online and stuff, and and just how people speak online because it's that little bit of anonymity, and that they wouldn't be like that if they were face to face with people. Well, same thing happens when you're on any of the apps. And, you know, and shocking news is that it's more than likely women, even though men get, you know, and a lot of nasty treatment online too.
Right.
But they're finding, shockingly, that women
I can't believe
get a
that.
Ton of abuse on online dating apps. What?
I don't believe you. It sounds like a lie.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's everything from that offensive language, disrespectful name calling, ghosting, having others offload their frustration on you, all commonplace on the dating apps. And sadly, many users have come to expect and even accept such treatment as part of the course when looking for love online.
Wow.
So, well, I mean, it is if you're looking for love online. Yeah. I think if you're doing it that way, you do have to accept that that is part of what's going to happen. Like,
terrible.
That's part of what's going to happen if you interact online, period. Like, if you're interacting with people online, you have to accept that you're going to get a certain percentage of shitty stuff.
Just terrible, like, human beings, yeah.
The only way to avoid it is to not get online.
Yeah. Or, the other thing that they were saying is that, like, it is, like, lowering our standards.
Sure.
That we're like, oh, this is part of being online dating, and we're allowing that kind of thing. So the one thing that I struggled with was maintaining the same standards, boundaries, and everything like that that I would have for real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How I want to be talked to, how I want to be treated.
Yeah.
Like if I don't want somebody showing me their dick within the first 5 minutes of us meeting in real life, I certainly don't want it online either.
Yeah.
So just like maintaining those standards and stuff, if we can all get together and say like, I don't want to be talked to that this way, like this is over as soon as somebody like immediately crosses that line. If we can maintain our in-person boundaries online, then maybe that would lead to a change in behavior at some point.
I would hope so, but unfortunately I just think that the rise of the internet like and being online the way that we are online now, which is constantly
you know,
and having like all of that stuff coming at us constantly, I think it's more likely that it's just going to change the way we interact like as a society.
I hope not.
I mean, I how can it not?
Yeah,
you know, I just think it has to, because I think on a large scale people just aren't going to have the energy to be. And first of all, as we've learned on this podcast, a lot of people aren't self-reflective, period.
Yeah.
introspective at all.
Right.
And then there's a small percentage of us who are very introspective and think about these things a lot and set, you know, boundaries and like all of that stuff. But even for those of us who do that, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is. Constantly be having to do that. So I imagine that. And this is just maybe me just being kind of like cynical and pessimistic. The internet's going to wear us down.
Yeah.
and it's just going to change the bar, unfortunately. Like, it's going to change the, like, that's a scary and sad thing to say. Yeah. But, and try not to let that happen. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh,
I wonder what it's going to be like in, you know, 40 years when everybody who's an adult almost has grown up almost entirely online. And, you know, what's that going to do to our society? What's it going to look like? It'll be different.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Keegan coming in hot with the apocalypse.
Sorry. God, Listen, it's been a rough week. Okay.
Yeah. No moving. Period.
Yeah, I know. I'm cramping right now. I'm just tired. All right.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck online.
Fuck everything. No, but it's something that I've been thinking about because I'm just like, maybe. I was reading an article about how a lot of YouTubers and people who became famous in like when they were very young, because it was, you know, they were touching on Bo Burnham and Jenna Marbles and Shane Dawson, who all started YouTube channels in like 2005 when they were in their early teens, you know, and blew up very quickly and then have had like their whole lives like online, and how to varying degrees they've all had to pull back. Like Jenna Marbles is completely gone. Like she's wiped like all of her social media. She's not on YouTube anymore. And all of that, because being on the internet all the time,
it's exhausting.
Can do like really fucked up shit to your mental health, you know?
Yeah.
So having to analyze that, and it got me thinking, like, will I ever want to do that?
Yeah.
Or not even that I don't want to. Will I ever be able to do that?
Yeah.
This seems like a good time to announce that we're going to be doing video podcasts.
Oh, God. No, just kidding. No. No, but I want to, because I think that I enjoy watching things online. Like, I love YouTube. I enjoy content creators. Oh, I love it. I'm obsessed with TikTok.
I think it's hilarious.
I spent like 2 hours scrolling on TikTok the other day. I love all that shit.
Now
that it's my literal job as a senior content creator, like, I just feel like it's like I have like a team of people who help me do it.
It's a lot of work.
So much that goes into it. It's wild. And I have a team of people who help me. Like, it's not like I just get to have to do everything myself, the editing, the filming, the, all that. Like, I can't imagine having to do all that shit myself.
Well, it's a real job. It's like, that's why when people talk down to people who do YouTube full time or whatever, it's like
full time job
for a lot of people. If you're putting out high quality content, like I've been watching Jamie French, who does like video. Well, she's made a lot of viral content, but she also does like movies and like does her makeup. But she also does this thing where she will cut herself into scenes like with green screen.
Yeah,
which is really, really cool, but I'm just, all I can think when I'm watching it is how long it took her to edit these videos. Yeah. Like, I was watching it being like,
for like 20 minutes of content or like 5 minutes of content. And right. You're just like, that took 3 days, you know?
Yeah. Forever. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So
almost feels like, you know, you live your real life and then you live an extra life, an online life. On
it's
top
so
of that.
True. I have a, you know, I've, through what I do, I've met quite a few people who are like Insta famous, right? And it's such a different world. I mean, I have a friend who became Insta famous when I knew him, right? So like, knew him, was nobody, became Insta famous, and saw his personality change.
Mm-hmm.
Like from like being able to post pictures with friends, and we'd be like, we'd be out, we'd take pictures, he'd never post it. Then you'd post like a picture of some other Insta famous person that you probably are going to get more likes from. And like suddenly these people were best friends. And I'm like, you just happened to run into him that night. I was there. Like, that's not, this isn't your friend.
Well, yeah. It's why a lot of people have their like Instagram Insta famous pages, yeah, and then they also have private pages,
right
where it's just like their private Instagram is where they have all of their real friends and where they post all of their real friends pictures, and then their professional page is also where they post all of that other stuff.
It's honestly just gross.
I'm too lazy for social media when it comes down to it. I get on it and I stalk it, and every once in a while I'll post. I'm probably the most active on our secret Worsties Facebook page. And that's about it. Like, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, it's already a lot, but it's just like, I don't know, I just can't imagine that and just knowing people that are like that, it's so disingenuous. Like, it really just made, like, it's like seeing a reality show filmed.
Well, I think the way you mean, I think
like
the
it
way
just
you
takes that blinder off and you're just like, wow, that is. And we know it's fake. We know that it's fake.
Well, that's exactly
But it doesn't
it.
Matter until you, when you really see how fake it is, it's such garbage.
But what's real so is how it affects people.
Yeah.
The people
that
look,
are your friends.
That look online and think that is real life. And it leads to like how, you know, what we're seeing, you know, right now with people.
And it just takes away all the empathy too. Like, I literally had a come to Jesus meeting with like this dude, and I was just like, listen, I just feel like, and you, I'm not begrudging you your Insta famousness. Like, that's great. I really want success for everybody I know, but it's so disingenuous, and it's so, you're not even who you were like,
right,
just 2 years ago. And it's so disheartening it just lacks empathy of your real friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, and I'm not saying you have to share pictures of all your friends all the time, and there's probably a little privacy thing too once you get Insta famous, like that you don't want maybe all your friends on blast or whatever. I get that as well, but it's just like, it just feel, I don't know, because it did feel like it started to meld into the real world a little bit too. And it's just like,
yeah, I think it's different for everybody. I think that for some people, genuinely, they want to keep those worlds separate.
Sure.
You know, and it's not necessarily, I don't know about I think I know who you're talking about. And I don't know about his case, but I do think that there are some people who genuinely, it's not a lack of empathy. It's a desire to have work life balance in that, like, this is their job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, this is their personal life, and they want to have a separation, you know, between their work and their personal life. And I know that can sometimes feel like, it can probably feel like you're being
pushed outside.
But maybe, you know.
But genuinely, after I had a conversation with this person, I think it did like recognize like, oh shit, how I treat you in public is kind of how I've been treating you online as well, which is that you're kind of just in the background. I always
which
just
is shitty.
Felt like, I just like, I'm not one of your groupies. I'm your fucking friend.
Yeah.
And I've been your friend for fucking years. Right. Years longer than this has happened to you. This is new. I'm old. Okay.
Right.
We go back. Mm-hmm. This goes a year ago. You know, a year or 2 years ago.
Some people can't handle it too. Like, they get really like big headed. I think everybody handles it like differently. And some people they think that, you know, Instagram fame means it's like you're not Meryl fucking Streep, okay? Like, you're not like a A-list celebrity, my dude.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, pump the brakes, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's not real. There's
online is not real, period.
There's such a curtain.
I've had conversations with people where, like, people I hadn't seen in a long time, and I'll be talking to them about my life and, like, things that I'm struggling with in my life. And they have said to me, oh, I never would have guessed that because you look so XYZ online.
Correct.
Sure.
And I have to say, because I'm not going to be posting all the time about like feeling like shit or like issues I'm having. Like I'm not like I'm posting when I'm happy and like when I'm having
a good
time.
Which is what most people are doing. There are some people who do post their whole life online, which is.
I don't need that either. I'm not suggesting that that's the turn that needs to happen. I just think that we all need to have a real, real honest reality check with it.
Your online presence, from what I've tried to look at it, is like you're looking at someone's scrapbook.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? They used to be physical things that were in the closet before. Now they're online, and you don't see the real truth in scrapbooks either.
That's right.
You know, people are posting when they're going to amazing vacations, when they've accomplished something, when they're happy, that sort of thing. Those are the memories that we post in our scrapbooks. Yeah. And so, you know, if you're somebody that is struggling, you know, and we all do, we all go through these periods, you know, don't think that you're the only one out there just because everybody online looks so happy. And same with dating and stuff too. Just remember, it's not real. It's a representation. It's just a scrapbook.
I wonder if there is a balance, though, because there are people who are exhausting because they post their every thought and feeling negative or positive online. And that is exhausting. But is there a way to post about struggling in a healthy way? Like, because I also think it is kind of important for people who are growing up online to see that people do struggle and like it's okay and it's normal to struggle, you know, and like, what does that look like? Because we do all struggle.
I think that there's something to be said, though, about the idea that we have probably in the last 5 or 10 years seen people normalize therapy, normalize taking pills for whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like that's,
and also
life.
You know, those people that pull the veil off of like the Photoshop and stuff like that, be like, hey, I don't actually look like that. Look at how I can make my stomach thin by using this app in 5 seconds of my time, you know?
Yeah.
So I know, I'm, you know, not to be all like old person, you know, on it, but I do think that we'll learn to use this tool in a more positive way.
Yeah.
I hope. I'm optimistic. But
I think it is being used in a positive way. It's just also being used in a really negative way. And you know, like, unfortunately, negativity travels faster.
Yeah.
Generally. Mm. But like, there's a lot of good things that have come out of the internet and out of people being able to connect online. You know, like now, if you're in a small town and you're struggling with something, you know that there are other people like you.
Right.
Like, and that's not something that happened 30 years ago. It's just like you were just alone.
Just
you, know?
You dealing with that one thing all by yourself. I do think there is something to be said. And, you know, I am not like pro Facebook. I mean, it's a tool that I use, but I will tell you that I do think that it's the place that I can achieve the most joy because it's the communities that you've built,
right?
So it's those groups. It's our group is a great example of that. Drinkerinos, like some of the, you know, Meowderinos, like those are the places that like I almost skip everything else and just go straight to those because I'm like, I do derive some joy and I do derive some community from people who have like-mindedness. And I think that there's, you know, there's good and bad with those things too, but like it seems like you can cultivate a little bit of a escape for yourself that might not have happened before the internet, right? Like if you were in a small town and you weren't surrounded by like-minded people, you was just, you know,
you were just alone.
Exactly.
We've had people reach out, and with my other podcast, with my feminism podcast, I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten from like younger teenagers who are like, I'm in this kind of situation at home, in this kind of situation in my town, and like, thank you for making me feel like I have friends who think like me and like I can process these feelings. So I mean, I think that that's But I think to bring it back to what you initially were talking about, Christina, about dating apps and where we're at with dating apps, I feel like it's just like that. It's like, if you are able to really examine it and curate your feed and like your online experience, then we can keep that like really high standard for other people.
Listen, you know, it's just quality over quantity.
Absolutely.
Getting a ton of matches is not all it's cracked up to be.
No.
I definitely went through that phase when I was doing my apps of just trying to be the most likable to the most amount of people.
Sure.
So I could get more apps and figured, you know, it's a numbers game. Dude, it's you deal with so much more bullshit when you go that way. Like, your best bet is to be 100% yourself.
Yep.
And maybe you get way less matches, but the ones that you do, that you know that they actually like you. They were attracted to you, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, otherwise you're wasting your time.
That's right.
You're going to go, you're the real you's coming. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, coming out one way or another.
The real you is going to spend an entire Saturday.
Yes.
Like getting off as to cleaning out a hall closet. Yeah, so exactly. Don't hide it.
Yeah. Or throwing your back out.
Just wave that freak flag high.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, speaking of freak flags. Okay. So we've done this every single year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our annual.
Time once again to fuck, marry, kill the president.
Oh, Lord.
We're running out of.
Now,
Decent ones?
Yeah.
Even remotely decent
even
ones?
Remotely.
No, we've been sleeping.
Oh, no. Okay.
I found an article that has young
hot
pictures.
Presidents. I've seen this article.
Yes.
And it is surprising.
It really is.
Have you seen young Gerald Ford?
The presidents of the United States when they were young and hunky. Dude, Franklin Pierce.
Who? I didn't even know that was a president.
We have a president named Franklin Pierce.
Dude, President Pierce?
I've never felt dumber in my life.
Me neither.
We had to look at young Theodore Roosevelt. Don't sleep on him.
Yeah, no, young Teddy is what's up. Yeah,
I'm Ulysses down for Teddy. S. Grant. Not too bad. He's a little
from
like,
Ohio.
Yeah. Not a
He's
great president.
He looks like a hipster. Yeah. He works at a record store in 2021.
Yeah. Oh. Coffee shop, you mean?
Yeah, or that.
Let's see. Oh, Calvin Coolidge was okay. Trying to find Woodrow Wilson's not bad. He's giving me a little bit of FDR vibes.
That looks like you. Yeah. That looks like you.
I'm going to go Teddy Roosevelt personally.
Who did we do last year?
Oh, geez. Last year we did the ones that were president when we were born.
Oh, that's right.
So we did Carter, Reagan, and Bush.
Senior.
Yeah. And then before we did hot presidents. So we did FDR, JFK.
Yeah.
And Lincoln.
That's right.
Why don't we do the Stinkin' presidents Lincoln. Who were your presidents when you graduated high school?
I like the old hotties.
Yeah.
I like Ted Roosevelt. I mean,
he wrestled a bear.
He is, and he's the Mr. Parks Ranger guy. And I know that there's a lot of not great things about Teddy Roosevelt. If we go back far enough,
they're all shitty. Let's be real.
Exactly. If you dive too deep, you're going to hate them all.
You don't even have to dive that deep.
That's right. You just really scratch the surface.
Just right there, like layer number two for everybody. I'm going to go with Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going
from Ohio.
That was my dad's middle name, Ulysses.
Oh, I like that.
Gosh, man. It's hard to. So we have Grant. We have
Roosevelt.
Teddy.
And I know nothing about this guy, but.
You're going Calvin Coolidge, aren't you?
It's going just straight looks.
Or Woodrow Wilson.
It's hard. That Franklin Pierce picture is pretty cute, too.
I literally know nothing about
like,
that.
Like, who? Really
that would be like a blind date.
Also, no it's like a painting, isn't it? It's not even like.
Oh, no. I feel it makes me worried that he wasn't president very long.
I know. What did he do?
Was it great? I mean, because it was really far back. I mean, maybe they were like, no, we cannot have somebody this.
Maybe we should fuck, marry, kill a president that we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Because we can't even.
Franklin Pierce. We're going. We're going Franklin Pierce.
Okay, let me see
president
again.
Number? Yeah, I need to see his face.
Oh, gosh. He died in 1869.
God
so
damn it.
Who knows? Boys, eh?
Not that hot.
Sir.
You wait. Okay. he has his hairline goes all the way back to Mexico.
Well, you
like
know.
It's like a full like we're it's like not even on this continent.
And it's like combed over. I think he kind of looks he looks like a Jane Austen character.
That's he does. That is true.
He does He's, look like he might be in a Dickens novel.
Oh, yes.
Yes. 100%
yeah. Totally.
Okay, actually, you know, okay.
Yeah.
He's all right looking. I will say this before we even get started. As we said, we don't know this person.
God bless the American education system. Right? Because I'm like, I
feel like I need to know. Like, I feel like I want to know more about Sir Piers.
So I just want to say, if any of us marry or fuck him and he did something atrocious,
yes.
Just know that we don't know that, okay?
We are guessing that he wasn't great just because of the time period that he,
yeah,
he
probably,
was in. Probably did not. Shit. Things.
Okay, so 14th president of the United States, serving 14th. From 1853 to 1857, not long. Northern Democrat who believed that the abolitionist movement was a fundamental threat to the unity.
Yep, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
God,
why did
it.
We look it up?
He alienated anti-slavery groups by supporting and signing the Kansas-Nebraska Act.
He ain't worth the
Fugitive Slave Act.
God damn it.
Yeah, no, he's terrible.
Well, so is Grant. Grant was a thief. He was, well, I mean, he wasn't, you know, as bad as Franklin Pierce, but he was a grifter. He, I think, made a lot of money off of prohibition and stuff like that and racketeering.
Well,
and
he did a lot of shit to Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Ulysses S. Grant did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. He does look like, though, that he's a Jane Austen villain right now.
That he's a Bronte character.
Yes.
Yeah. More than an Austen.
Heathcliff,
yeah,
for like, sure.
He's done some shady shit. He has a wife locked in the attic.
Oh, no. You know? Oh, yeah. No. Oh, no.
And he gets away with a lot because of his jawline.
Correct.
And people are like, it's fine.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Look, James Buchanan came in after him. I feel like I at least know him.
Listen, and Teddy did.
Great.
Well, Teddy's short, fiery.
Is he short?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, he's got little man complex.
Which is funny because Napoleon complex I just learned a lot about recently.
There you go.
Teddy Roosevelt is hot though.
Oh,
yeah.
Like for sure.
Walk tall and carry a big stick.
Big stick. Big stick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I gotta marry Teddy Roosevelt.
I'm gonna top line all the presidents real quick. I feel like I think like this is good, right? I'm gonna just Wikipedia them. We'll do a little top line. President from
which one?
This is Teddy, okay. Often referred to Teddy as Teddy or TR. American statesman,
conservationist.
Thank you. Words are hard. Naturalist. I'm sorry. I'm studying philosophy right now, and my words cannot words at all.
You got good. It.
Okay. Naturalist, historian, and writer who served as the 26th president from 1901 to 1909. He previously served as the 33rd governor of New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be very clear. Merged leader of the Republican Party, became a driving force for the antitrust and progressive policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Keegan, this is you as president because he was constantly busy. He did a lot of shit.
Oh, dude.
And he was very, like...
And still made time to kill bears.
Yes.
So, you know, he was on top of it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to marry him. It is going to be exhausting.
He had a son named Kermit, and I don't love that, but...
Aw.
Kermit. Aw.
But, yeah, he's somebody that I think would, like, bring out the best in me because he was just constantly working. I feel like he worked himself to death because he died really young, or youngish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm not big on the hunting aspect of it. However,
the times.
I feel like
it feels a little bit more excusable because of the times.
And I feel
Teddy
like
Teddy and his rough riders. Hey-o, am I right?
Hey-o. Ride me rough. Hey-o.
Oh. I do feel like, though, if you're with Teddy Roosevelt, you're going to eat well.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're going to drink well.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's going to get real quality whiskey.
And
you know,
you're going to break up trusts, which is really awesome. You're going to bust up those rich motherfuckers.
That's right.
So,
you know what? I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
From Ohio. Yeah. American military leader, served the 18th president, 1869 to 1877, as President Grant was effective civil rights executive who created the Justice Department and worked with radical Republicans to protect African Americans during Reconstruction. As commanding general, he led the Union Army to victory in the American Civil War in 1865, and thereafter briefly served as Secretary of War. Also, handsome man.
Yeah, maybe I'm mistaking him for the bathtub guy.
Yeah, see, I was curious when you said that. No, Taft, right?
Taft.
Got stuck in the bathtub.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he was the bathtub dude.
Yeah, that's Taft. Also from Ohio, I believe.
Is he the one, though, that messed up Reconstruction?
I have no idea. It says to protect African during Reconstruction.
Yeah.
It says
because he was the president immediately following... After the Civil War was over.
Right.
He was preceded by Halleck. Who the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Oh my God, what is wrong with us?
Who the fuck is Halleck? Is that a president?
Listen, we're not trying to do like a history lesson. This is not a history podcast. We're going off of vague generalization.
Okay. I feel like we already know too much.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I had to show you his picture. I dropped my phone. It was dramatic. All right. So those are the three.
Yeah.
Got the top lines.
And
killing Pierce.
Obviously.
We're killing Pierce.
I don't know you, and you seem like a piece of shit. So yeah.
Garbage town.
I don't care how much you look like Heathcliff. I'm killing you.
It's such a shame. We're over.
It's so sad when hot people are so awful.
But you know what? It sounds like he died pretty young, because I bet you he would have aged terribly. I feel racists age very badly.
Oh,
like,
horribly.
It does bad things for the skin. Racism is bad for the skin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is a commercial for love, because hate looks terrible
ages
on you.
It does.
Wrinkles. It does. The whole lot. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to marry Teddy. It's going to be exhausting. It's going to be a lot. But like, and I'll let Grant and his big hands.
He looks big.
Yeah. Looks sturdy.
Yeah.
Looks like you can climb him like a mountain.
Yeah, you could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, okay. I think I'm going to do the same. And only because, although, you know, Ulysses S. Grant, there's a reason why Ulysses is a family name. My brother's middle name is Ulysses. My dad's middle name was Ulysses. And it goes back on the black side of my family.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
You know, because did a lot of things for the African-American community at that time, although he did some other shady things.
Yeah. Presidents, am I right?
And and it's tempting to marry him for that reason. However, I just get a sense in his pictures that like he's the serious.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have a sense of humor.
No, you're not having fun.
Teddy looks like Teddy he looks can make like, you laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna have fun.
Like he's gruff when he needs to be and he's protective when he needs to be, but like when you are alone and hanging out, I feel like he's gonna like tell jokes. I feel like he's got jokes. Yeah. You know, like, and I'm like, I bet I could get him to
spank me.
Oh, I bet you could.
I bet you could. He's going to fuck you on a bearskin rug.
Yes!
Okay? In front of a fireplace. Yes. A real, real big fireplace.
Yes, a big one. Okay? Yeah. So
all stone.
I am going to marry Teddy. I also just like the name Teddy. Like, yeah. Hey, that's cute. I like it. And I'm going to fuck Ulysses. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's going to take his aggression out on you, Ulysses S.
I really want to marry Teddy. I find, though, that I would just end up being super jealous, because I don't feel like he probably respects women as much as he respects his guy friends. And I want to be able to go on all those adventures. He's a bro's bro. He's not going to let me. And I don't love that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to fuck Teddy. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like Ulysses, here's what I think about him. I actually think that he's probably very pro women. And slightly like he may be very I feel like he's very grounded. He actually reminds me a lot of Chris already.
That's
what I'm seeing here.
That makes sense.
Like, I think that he's one of those people that would ground me. I'm already crazy enough. Like, I'm already wildling out. And I don't need
sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need you, Teddy. I can go hunt on my own if I want to.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like Ulysses S. Grant would let you come along.
Yes.
Not because
he wants you to be there.
I don't even know if it would be that. To me, it's more like he's like, come if you wanna. Like, it's just kind of like, all right. Which I think is fine. I feel like he would value you
for the time.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
just like, I feel like he'd value your opinion. I feel like you're at home and you've made dinner because you're the woman. But at the same time, he's
and
like
it's 1865.
Right, right. But at the same time, he's like, you know, oh, he's telling you about his day, and you're like, you're as the female counselor in the home that's how it was again. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, yeah, no, I get it. I see what you're saying. I see where you're coming from.
I actually see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he'd value your opinion. He wouldn't tell his friends. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he would. Maybe he'd be like, you know, my wife, man, she's what a smart cookie.
What a lovely lady.
What a real gem. Really, really did well.
Yeah.
Philly. Yeah. We really learned a lot of this one. Like, we learned that Pierce was a president.
Presidents we didn't know we had.
Pierce was a president. The end.
The end. You guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Yeah. Yes. And we're back. All right, Christina.
Okay. I got this one off of Reddit. I had been with my ex for about 4.5 years, had gone through some rough patches, but we were pretty serious at the time. At some point, he got caught up in a pyramid scheme and was convinced he'd be retired in 4 years.
Oh, no. That's so cute.
We were 21 at the time.
Oh, no. I'm going to be retired by the time I'm 25. That's adorable.
Adorable.
I had made it clear I wanted nothing to do with it.
Smart 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Figured I'd let him learn his lesson. I was in school. He was working some job at the time, plus the pyramid scheme, which wasn't actually making money off of.
What?
You're no way.
One day, he tells me he has a really nice date planned for us. Mm-hmm. He was going to take me to a nice dinner downtown, told me it would be fun, and we could dress up for it.
No.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't tell me
no.
where we were going. No. Having been together for a while at this point, my immediate thought was, he's going to propose.
Oh, no. My God.
I start throwing out hints and asked him if it's something I should get my nails done for. He said,
he isn't picking up the
yes. hints. So now I'm yes. excited, convinced he's going to propose to me. The night comes, I get all dressed up, and we head to the city for this dinner. The whole time, I'm trying to get it out of him where he's taking me for dinner.
Oh, honey.
Suddenly, he pulls up to this nice hotel.
No.
Tons of people are walking
in. It's a hotel conference
room.
All
dressed fancy. I immediately knew what was going on, and my heart sank. It was one of those big banquets they hold for pyramid schemes where the top tier people come and talk about how rich they are and how you could be rich like them one day too if you work hard enough. He knew if he had told me where we were going and what it was for, then I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
So he played it up as this big fancy date for just the two of us.
I have a question,
sir.
When people do this, what do they think the outcome is going to be?
Right.
Like, why?
Be like,
they don't play that game consequences.
No,
what?
Because I'm just like, why wouldn't you just go by yourself? Like, if you know that she really doesn't want to go, why would you get her all excited about something that you know she's going to be pissed about whenever she figures out what it is? Like, you're just making it terrible for yourself and for her.
I think some people think that they can, like, change your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let me just show you. Like,
yeah, if you see.
You'll see.
If you see how fancy there, you can get dressed up.
Yeah.
If you see how much fun you can get dressing up fancy.
Yeah. And you see all these top tier people. Ooh. Like, I'm going to get you really like stoked for this thing. Yeah. And she's like,
no, you're not.
Yeah. No, you're not. Because instead, I was sitting at a table with him and a bunch of strangers eating awful, clearly pre-frozen, ready-to-cook chicken and potatoes.
No. They just got some lean cuisines, popped them in the microwave, and then put them on a fancy plate. They're like, here you go.
I was trying to hold back tears all night. I felt so overstimulated as I was in a crowded room full of strangers. There was so much noise. I could hardly hold a conversation with my ex because we had to yell over people.
Ex.
And it went on for hours. Yeah. We broke up a few months later for reasons unrelated to that incident.
I bet that incident contributed.
Didn't hurt.
It was in her head sure when it happened.
Yeah. Now I'm with somebody who took me on real dates pre-COVID and still make sure we have a date night.
So, aww.
ends up happy ending. But
what I want to know is if her ex retired at 25.
Yeah. Oh, I
asking
know.
The real questions.
I don't think that I bet
he has a yacht now.
Ever.
Yes. I doubt it. I'm going to guess no.
No.
Okay. Well, I got mine off of Reddit too. And mine is going to make you mad.
Okay.
You're not going to love it. And, but there's a nice little lesson wrapped in here, just like our history lesson from earlier.
I'm learning so much today, you guys.
A real educational episode. Cassie goes back to school, just brings in all the education. Fucking nerd.
Oh, Pierce is a president, and now this. Okay. Go for it.
Medic, I am Bumble. We texted and talked for a while before meeting up, so felt pretty good about him. Went to a bar, and the bar ended up closing early because they had an unexpected leak. So, and I know this wasn't smart, I invited him back to my place for another drink. As soon as we get to my place, he gets super awkward, like not talking, being weird. I eventually say, it's getting late and I'm tired, so let's call it a night. Silence from him. I tell him he needs to call an Uber, so he takes out his phone, pretends to push some buttons, and puts his phone away. 10 minutes later, I ask him where his Uber is, and he just shrugs, says they must have forgotten him.
What?
Meanwhile, he never even looked at his phone again. I tell him he needs to wait outside. He tells me I need to just go to bed and he'll wait inside.
Excuse you?
No. Oh.
In my house?
I say again, he needs to go. He walks right past me and the door and proceeds to go to my bathroom. Tells me I can't deny him the use of my bathroom and closes himself in there for a good 10 to 15 minutes.
911.
Call somebody. Yeah,
like trespassing.
He finally comes out and I tell him if he doesn't leave, I'm going to call the police. He looks me dead in the eyes and says, word for word, how long do you think it'll take for them to get here?
Oh my God.
I'm on fire.
I think at that point you say you've already called the police. You know what I mean? Like
well,
when
they're actually
on their
way.
When they come out of the bathroom, like, yeah, I've already called the cops. Like you got to get out of here. I know hindsight is 2020, right? Like you looking back.
Woof. At this point, my fairly large dog must have picked up on the tension and starts growling at
God
him.
Bless.
Oh.
Bless your heart.
This
he
is
going to
make me miss Tig.
I know. I'm
sorry.
No, it's okay.
He leaves. I couldn't figure out where he went, but waited for an Uber to come to make sure he gets in and actually leaves. So I'm watching out the window and a car pulls up. He comes out of hiding, walks up to my car, kicks in my door, dents and cracks the paint, gets in an Uber and leaves.
Whoa.
Holy
shit. I want to set the human on fire.
I hope she reported that.
Is that awful?
That's fucking terrible.
There's definitely ways that you can report somebody through the apps for behavior like that.
Yeah.
And they'll get banned from the apps.
Yeah.
But yeah, she could have definitely like called the cops.
Listen.
And, yeah.
It's like, awful. And I only told that story because I'm like, total learn from someone else's mistakes,
yes,
right? Like,
exactly.
Like, if nothing else, like, I know we share stories so that we can all feel like we're all part of this human thing that happens to everyone.
Right.
But truly, you know, I'm always that person who has to learn all the bad things all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what other people do. But if you guys literally hear nothing today, do not bring somebody that you've met to your apartment.
Well,
ever.
And if you do,
go
because
to a
I know that it happens.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it happens. If you do,
send that information
yes,
to your friends.
That's
and
right.
And the moment you start to feel uncomfortable, because you better believe we are in constant contact with
yes,
each other. We have mm-hmm, several group chats. We have girl group, you know, text
yes,
chats. You guys know that if something like that was going down, I would be on my phone texting you
immediately.
Even if I was just saying, like,
if
this creepy
in bathroom,
guy in
yeah,
my apartment won't leave. And so that way I know that, like, even if I don't call
we're
somebody
on our way right now,
somebody else is
yeah,
gonna either
like,
come over.
Everyone knows that you're here right now, and also like the cops mm-hmm,
has
are on
your
the
information
way.
Right.
Yeah,
just make
exactly,
sure bare minimum, just make sure other people ooh, know what's going on with you, you know, like
yeah. Well, and here's the thing, you guys, if you don't have a tight group of friends, fucking reach out to us. Mm-hmm. Fucking send us a message on Instagram. Send us a message. I know this sounds really stupid, but I don't want anybody to ever
that,
feel like
you got to reach
themselves,
out to somebody.
What
you
have
to
let people know is the scariest.
So scary.
It's so literally scary. I got hot because it was so That is a terrifying thing to say to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And now this motherfucker knows where you live.
Oh, my God.
And if for some reason you feel like you can't call somebody or they won't get there fast enough, like when he excused himself and was in the bathroom for 10 minutes.
Grab a knife.
Or go to a neighbor. Knock on a neighbor's door. Yes. Like, at least they know that, like, there's someone in your apartment that you don't want, you know. Just, and again, this is not shamey at all.
No,
it's just, like, hindsight is 2020. You learn, you know. But...
No,
very scary situation.
I did not pick this story to shame this person. I picked the story to have this conversation so that we can all learn from
that
from
would
experiences
give me
that other people have had. It's horrible.
Because he knows where you live now. Awful. It's scary. Yeah.
He kicked your door of your car.
What's wrong with you?
Woof. I hate you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
on that note, I wonder what triggered him, because it seems like they were having a normal time at the bar and then something switched, like, on their way over. You know what I mean? Because you wouldn't have invited him home if he was being weird in the bar.
And that's what I mean about, like, I know that these things are going to happen, because sometimes you use, like, your judgment in the moment of, like, oh, well, this person, I've been hanging out with them for an hour, and they seem, like, normal and nice.
Yeah.
And then, like,
all of a sudden,
I
want to
keep this
like,
going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Terrifying.
That's so scary.
All righty. I met a guy on a dating website back when internet dating was newish and still kind of taboo. Which I was watching Girlfriends, with Tracee Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
From like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And there's an entire episode about how like she's meeting somebody online, like she met someone online, and it is discussed in a way where it's like shocking that she would go on a date with someone that she met online. Like, there was a period of time, believe it or not, to our younger listeners, choosing to go on a date with someone you didn't meet in person was like
weird,
right?
Now it's like prevalent.
The only way.
The only way.
Yeah. We chatted for a bit, and I was pretty sure he wasn't a serial killer, so I agreed to meet up for dinner. I get dolled up and arrive early, taking a seat at a little two-top that I had reserved earlier that day. I see my date arrive and cheerfully wave him down. I notice a woman walking closely behind him, but assume that she just snuck in the door behind him. However, when he starts to walk over to me, I notice that she is following closely behind him. When they get to the table, without a word to me, he flags down a server and asks that another chair be squeezed into our already kind of crowded little table.
I'm sorry.
Have approximately 1 million questions right now.
Am I intruding? I'm a bit thrown by this. Once the chair is placed, he flashes me a big smile and says, hello, it's nice to meet me, blah, blah, blah. Not even acknowledging the woman who has taken a seat between us at the table.
Wait, what?
What?
And you are?
For her part, she looks sullen and super serious. She looks like she's trying
this
to size me
up.
He must have noticed me staring at her because he finally says, oh, this is Candace, my sister.
What? Okay.
What? I'm not sure what to say, so I just say, hi, Candace, and reach out my hand. She takes it and shakes it without saying a word, like we're at a business meeting or something. It's all very weird again. But again, internet dating was still kind of new at the time, and I don't know, maybe he just thought he needed a third party present. But the way she was acting was freaking me out. She barely spoke, and when the waiter came back to our table to take our order, I ordered a cocktail. I swear I heard her audibly scoff as she looked me up and down. The guy, Jeff, was trying to be pleasant enough, making conversation as though she was not there, but I couldn't get over it.
What?
Why should you?
Why should you?
Wait.
Dude, if you have to have a little bit of awareness to know that
this is weird.
Things need an explanation.
Yeah. At least you know what I mean? You know, you could say that, like, hey, my sister Candace was really nervous about me going on a date with a stranger, so she wanted to come along.
Anything. I had to pick her up from a bad date. Her car broke down.
Why does she have to sit with you? Put her at the bar or something. Like, why is she with you?
Why does she want to sit there?
It's like wet guy. Why are you wet?
Why?
This requires an explanation.
You cannot just show up this way.
It's and not, the, and it's, oh, it is. Like, it's weirder that it's not being acknowledged.
Exactly.
Like,
it's like,
that's the thing.
And now we're all in this vortex of another reality.
What in the actual fuck is happening?
This is also going to make you mad.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. So, great. Oh.
Halfway through dinner, we were chatting about something when his sister interrupted. She abruptly.
Honey, are you here?
Right. She just now? Decided now she's going to join. He's like, she abruptly asked me how much money I made at my job. When I hesitated to answer, she gave a telling look to her brother, like that must mean I didn't make a lot of money. Then she asked if I had any kids. I could tell now that we were in the interrogation portion of the night.
Oh.
I said no. Hold on. Pause for effect. I said no. And then she asked me if I ever had an abortion.
Oh, she dropped her microphone. Shit.
Oh, my God.
That's none of your fucking business. That's none of your fucking business
ever. I fucking hate
you,
Candace. Mm-hmm. You can get right the fuck out of mm-hmm. here. I'm so sorry.
That's inappropriate.
I'm sorry about that noise.
It's fine.
I want to, oh my God. I want to get up and leave right now. I'm gone, actually. What the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Now I'm fed up. I say, I don't really think that's any of your business. So she says something along the lines of not wanting her brother to be with a, quote, girl who would do something like that. And if I wouldn't answer the question, then they would have to leave.
I'm about to leave my own fucking house right now.
I prefer that you would. I think, oh my God.
I
oh
want
my
to
God.
Leave my own that makes me... fucking house mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just angrier. I'm stuttering because I'm so many things are mm-hmm. coming into my head where I'm like,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. You asked me how much I made. If yes. I have kids. If I want to
imagine.
No, I cannot.
Yeah. And then you're going to judge me based on those answers. Like, who the fuck are you, Candace?
Mm-hmm. I can literally imagine myself in that moment and how visceral my feeling. I would be shaking. It would be hard for me not to hurt her right now.
Dude, I get like, I'm so angry. I'd be like, oh yeah, I've had eight.
Yeah, just make it up, right?
What? Like, presumably yeah. you're sitting like
and what if
real
I did?
Close to her. Because you're at a two-top table.
Lean in. Yeah, I've had eight.
Yeah, just fucking just
what
make
if
up
I
like
have?
The most
goodbye
yeah
like goodbye
and what
it matters to you why
who are you what's your name again?
Candace.
I don't know you.
My God,
fuck. I am hot.
I know
girl. How dare you bring the story up to us?
I'm so sorry.
No.
I love to hate it.
Okay, she says, I'm furious now. My date's face has gone white as he's glancing back and forth between his sister and me. I tell her I don't give a rat's ass if they do leave. Why would I want to be involved with such a shitty, judgmental shrew in the first place?
Okay. She's much kinder than I would be.
She looks like I just threw water in her face. She stood up, dramatically threw down her napkin and said, come on, Jeff, we're leaving.
Oh, wow. My flowers in the attic is
dude.
Happening.
Oh, right? Like, why? She's
so
jealous.
Much. Yes.
Why do you care this much?
God,
about what
you
who your brother dates? It's weird.
Honey,
it's very weird.
You just dodged 1,000 red flags.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah.
Like, get the...
Because if this is what the sister's like, what is everyone else in that family like?
Overbearing.
Absolutely crawling right now.
Peel it off.
Sheepishly, with his head hung, Jeff gets up from the other side of the table. She grabs his arm like a mom dragging a kid away from a play date, and he mutters an apology to me as they leave.
Wow.
Honestly, I was grateful. I happily drank my cocktail and finished my meal in peace. Jeff tried to hit me up a couple times after that, trying to apologize for his sister's behavior, but I never responded. The experience almost turned me off of online dating for good.
Oh, God. Fucking Candace.
Candace.
I have never.
Fucking Jeff.
Jeff.
Grow some fucking
cojones. Listen, Jeff. I am a little bit of an overbearing big sister to
okay, but not
my
to,
baby brother and to
when
my baby
have you ever
sister.
Gone on a date?
Absolutely never.
Would never.
And have I been polite to all the people that they have dated or whatever? Because it's none of my fucking business.
Yeah.
None.
You would say something if you felt like it was harmful.
Correct.
Or, but you would say that to them.
To them. Right. Not to, exactly. I've never been anything but nice to the people that I've gotten to meet that they're dating.
I don't want to go on my brother's date. That's so weird.
I absolutely do not want to either. I think it's very bizarre.
I hate everything that just happened.
Sorry.
I might need a break before we go into Tainted Love. Oh, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to love this either.
Well, this one I found, I was just doing a random Google scroll and came across a Texas Monthly article, which is
yes, ma'am,
my absolute favorite.
Gorge. Don't you pay for Texas Monthly or
something now?
Which
I do.
Oh my God,
that is so extra.
I just really like the articles. Listen, you know,
I was telling Chris the other day because we just upped our Apple membership to include Arcade and like a couple things like that we were like family wise, and I was like, I'm really angry that we didn't do the one that includes the news, because how many times I go on the news, I'm actually like now the person who's like, I can't even get on Facebook or Instagram, mm-hmm. or not Instagram, but like Twitter. I just want to like look at the news, just the facts, ma'am. Yep. I don't want to see 50 people's opinions
because
about
you know, you're going to click on the comments even when you don't want to.
That's right.
Like, yeah. Your brain is like, don't do it.
I just want the news. I don't need to hear Sylvie from Oklahoma's opinion about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Candace is probably now in her late 50s commenting.
Is this Candace Owens, actually?
Underneath every single news article, you know?
I know. I don't want your opinions. But so this one was called The Doctor, The Dentist, and The Killer. And I'm going to tell you why this hits home. It does hold a very serious shame receipt.
I'm so excited, personal experiences.
Yes. it's very embarrassing, actually, so
can't wait.
Okay. September 2nd, 2015, in a parking garage in upscale Dallas neighborhood, a Jeep Cherokee pulled up behind one of the residents, Kendra Hatcher. Cameras show a dark figure get out of the Jeep to shoot her in the back of the head, steal her purse, get back in the car, and speed off. Witnesses called 911 and cops arrived to find Kendra and her doctor scrubs dead on the cold concrete. The first theory was robbery, but that was super unusual because this didn't happen on the street. It was in a gated parking garage.
Yeah.
Police started to think she must have been targeted, but who would target Kendra? She was born and raised in a small Illinois town named Pleasant Plains. Her mother, Bonnie, owned a quilt shop.
Oh, God, this is so cute.
Kendra was captain of her high school cheerleading squad and the girls' volleyball team. She went on mission trips abroad to help build churches. She led Bible studies for low-income children.
We wouldn't be friends, but she sounds great.
She attended DePaul University in
Indiana.
Birds
fucking loved her, you know?
She has, like, exactly. She literally is this person. Like, yeah. She has, like, birds that are her friends.
Did she light up every room that she walked into? Up.
She is the epitome of a Dateline eulogy. It's like zero things they could find that she's ever done wrong in her whole life.
Never been mean to a single person.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Middle, like upper middle class.
Yeah.
Middle America.
Angel.
Beautiful angel. And she's a dentist.
Of course.
So Kendra spent her spring breaks working for Habitat for Humanity. One Christmas, she traveled to Ecuador to provide free dental work for children. And she had married her college boyfriend, but it didn't last. They had an amicable divorce.
Of course it was amicable.
Yeah, of course. Exactly.
They're still friends.
They can't hate each other. They still send each other Christmas cards.
Because they just want the best for each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When he got remarried, she was invited. She was probably the maid of honor.
Yeah. Exactly. She's like, she's best friends with the new bride.
She just really loves his new wife. They're so, and they're great together. You know, it just wasn't meant to be for him and Kendra.
Right.
Just wasn't meant to be, but she sees this as a happy new beginning for him.
Yes.
And she just loves Jenny.
And
they're so close.
She's just going to do her thing,
That's right.
It's going to work out in the Lord's time.
That's
In 2010.
Her teeth are perfect, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
The dentist, of course. So.
In 2010, hoping for a fresh start, she moved to Dallas, went to work at Smile Zone, and rented an apartment at Gables Park 17, which features a saltwater infinity pool, a fitness studio, a gourmet coffee bar, a cyber lounge, and a 24-hour concierge. She was gorgeous and well-loved by everyone.
Of course.
Not the kind of person...
Listen, if you're gorgeous,
that crime happens to.
But you know what? People like that definitely have enemies because hate is going to hate, right? There's always going to be somebody who is
like
mad
me, that was over here gagging.
Yes, but you're not petty enough to like,
oh, no,
you know,
kill
like
somebody because they're jealous.
But there are, yeah, like because people who are that perfect provoke jealousy in other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess.
4 months earlier, Kendra had downloaded Tinder in her new city. She swiped right on a guy named Dr. Ricky Paniagua. I don't know how you say his last name. Paniagua. Dr. Ricky.
Paniagua?
Dr. Ricky.
All right.
He was 38, finishing his residency in dermatology in Dallas. So now they're going to have fucking perfect skin,
this
too.
Bitch.
And perfect
and
teeth.
And perfect teeth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, he was also previously married and divorced, but was described as quiet and thoughtful. Great bedside manner. People had great things to say about Dr. Ricky as well. Things move lightning fast for the couple, who started saving for a wedding fund. And in fact, they were supposed to be going on a vacation to Cancun that next day. A vacation before they came back to Dallas to pack up and move to California to start their new life together. Cops pull Ricky in immediately because they're like, yeah. This perfect person, it's always the boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, like, what the fuck is up with you, Dr. Ricky?
He Ricky seemed.
Dr. Ricky P. seemed genuinely distraught. He couldn't think of who would do this. Cops showed him surveillance video and he couldn't ID the woman driver or the passenger of the Jeep Cherokee. So, police released footage of the Jeep in a hope that a tip would come in. So, this guy named Lewis calls and is like, yeah, that's my car. What the fuck is going on? They bring him in and ask, like, hey, you kill anybody today? And he's really confused. He's like, no, I work in an auto garage. I lent that car to my pal, Brenda Delgado. But at the time of the murder, both me and Brenda were eating at a restaurant together. So I have no idea what
did
the fuck is going
on. Did you valet your car?
Who did Brenda lend the car to?
Yeah. Also, if you borrow a car, like, don't let...
You don't get to lend a lended car to someone else.
Thank you. That's not the etiquette.
No.
That's not your car to lend.
You don't do that.
Thank you. So police round up Brenda, who says, no, Lewis is confused. My friend Crystal borrowed the Jeep. She's a new friend.
Me too.
She's only hanging out for the past month. She's a single mother, a bit down on her luck. I lent her the car. Okay, cool. They now grab Crystal. They're like, cops now have three people in three interview rooms with three stories.
All connected to the same fucking car.
Yeah.
Yes. They begin to focus on Brenda and Crystal. After grilling Crystal, she begins to tell the tale of a carjacking. That she was in the car when someone with a gun comes up and tells her to drive into that parking garage. Gets out, shoots Kendra, gets back in, and has her drop him off a few miles away. She thinks his name is Lamar. That story begins to crumble as they search her phone records to find a man named Christopher Love. And when they pick him up and search his car, they find the murder weapon in the console of his car. So, cops are super confused.
This is a lot.
This is a lot. Crystal and Christopher, zero connection whatsoever to Kendra. They don't know her. They've never met her. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Uh-huh.
They zero back in on Ricky, thinking, okay, maybe murder for hire, right? And it's always the boyfriend. But by now, the doctor's getting a bit reluctant to help out, thinking of lawyering up. But everyone's saying their relationship was in that perfect early stage, and they just couldn't find a motive until Ricky provides a clue. Looking at the surveillance photos again, he started to think about someone he used to date, that he still talked to platonically. That had been one of his first phone calls after the murder. Brenda Delgado.
Interesting.
Now, Brenda's family had moved to Dallas from Central Mexico in the 80s, and she grew up in a lower income community in Southeast Dallas.
She was a very studious and determined girl who worked a few jobs to help pay to become a dental hygienist. She was very religious, attending services regularly, and although she was pretty, she didn't really date. In 2012, she decided to try dating apps for the first time, and that's where she met Dr. Ricky P. And for their first date...
She's like, jackpot.
Yeah. Yeah. He took her to a J-Lo concert.
Oh, shit.
On your first date?
You set that bar all the way up.
3 months later, they moved in together.
Also, Ricky moves fast.
Yeah.
He's very fast. Ricky moves real fast.
Real fast. Real fast.
Too fast food.
Mm-hmm. Brenda told everybody about her doctor boyfriend.
Yeah.
She showed him off to parents,
yeah,
friends, doing all the things. And in June,
3 months is also 3 months is too soon to be showing someone off like that.
I don't know. He took you to a J-Lo concert.
You're like, we're basically married.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know how much this costs? So, yeah. And after talking, in June 2013, so they've been dating like almost a year, Brenda actually learns she is pregnant. After talking to Ricky, she decided to have an abortion, and police later discovered the depth of her distress about this on the notes app in her phone, but she agreed to it because of her surety that they would have children someday.
Why would you do that?
Super religious. Yeah. And so like she's committed to whatever it takes to make this work. Yeah. By 2014, she was wearing a promise ring. And they went to Mexico to meet Brenda's.
Sorry,
promise rings.
I'm throwing a flag.
You're not
play.
15. I'm
throwing a flag on
you
that play.
You don't do a promise ring.
Thank you. I was like,
throwing a flag on that play.
How old? I'm sorry. You're a doctor in your mid 30s, and you're giving somebody a promise ring.
No,
ma'am.
No,
listen.
It's
ladies.
An engagement ring or earrings. You know what I mean? That's
exactly right. I'm not putting anything
on
a
tennis
this.
Bracelet or an engagement ring. You right. don't. Yeah. You don't. Why?
No.
Like I would be so insulted.
Yeah.
If I was in my 30s
how dare you?
And someone gave me a promise ring.
I promise you better get the fuck out my face.
What the
there
fuck
you
does
go.
This mean I we live together, Ricky?
This is adulthood.
Right.
You're not asking me to fucking prom. Yes. Text your letter jacket. Get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here with your class ring.
I hate that.
Ugh.
So, by 2014, she's wearing that promise ring. They went to Mexico.
Sorry, I have to pause this for one more second because I can literally just imagine Tony coming to kick it and being like, no, it's an engagement ring. It's a promise.
It's a promise that I will get you engagement
will.
Ring.
At some point.
At some point. What does it mean when you're in adulthood?
It barely made sense in high school.
Like, right?
Now, I'm just like, no.
Did you guys ever get a promise ring?
Yeah.
No, but
oh,
I did. I didn't, but I had friends who did.
I did.
I'm sorry. I need the story.
No, it was just like, it was my ex-boyfriend when we were in high school, and it was more like I promise I'm going to get you something nice at some point.
At some point. He's like, but in the meantime, take this gumball ring.
Yep.
That's definitely not going to turn your finger green.
Yeah. No, it didn't. It's real gold, but them were chips.
Oh.
Those were just chippies.
Damn.
I'll fuck around with no chippies.
Now, so they go to Mexico to meet Brenda's extended family. They moved into a 2-bedroom apartment together, which is LA speak for commitment.
That's right. A 2-bedroom?
Thank You're God married. We made it.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly my feelings. We just moved into a 2-bedroom apartment and I was just like, mama, I made it. When you live in a city, and Dallas is an expensive city too. When you live in an expensive city.
And you have a bedroom you don't actually need.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, you're moving on up for real. Like things are happening. However, in July of 2014, the unthinkable happened. Ricky suddenly broke up with her and asked her to move out.
How dare you?
Because he met an actual Disney princess and he was like, sorry about you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
just met this lady named Cinderella.
It kind of seemed like, and I did some digging to try to figure out like why they broke up. And like there's differing stories or whatever. Like one said that he just sent her a fucking email, which I was like, Dr. Ricky P.
I'm sorry.
If you guys are dating for a few years,
I have a promise ring
and an email.
Yeah. No.
You don't know how to act, Ricky.
Yeah. But I don't know what the truth of it is or why they broke up this first time. but he asked her to move out. Exactly.
She can't just go into the spare bedroom. They have two.
Brenda like drops out of dental hygienist school, doesn't no. take it well, like just
oh, I don't like that for her.
Awful. But finally, but. Like gets on her feet, gets a one bedroom apartment and like moves on. In September of that year, at a salsa dance studio Ricky just started taking classes at, they met up randomly and reconnected.
So she randomly met up randomly at a salsa dancing class.
Yeah.
No, she was Dallas stalking him.
Big enough city yeah. that it's just and it's just random enough.
What a weird place to randomly run into someone. Like if you randomly ran into somebody.
This class too?
Yeah, it's weird. Like if you randomly ran into someone at the grocery store, I'd be like, okay. Like I could see that. But I'm like, you both signed up for salsa dancing classes yeah. at the same time, at the same studio, at the same like appointment. Like, right. you know, like class
yeah.
time. No, no.
So, yeah, they Weird. Reconnected, but it would only last a few months before Ricky broke up with her again in February of 2015.
Honey, it's not meant to be.
Yeah, but Ricky thought Brenda was, like, handling things well. They still texted platonically, and he saw her out and about, like, everywhere he went. Running on the same trails, going on a lunch date with another woman at Panera, etc., etc., etc.
That's weird, yeah. Ricky. Why? It's, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, he's just like, Dallas is a city. It would be like if I broke up with somebody that was living in North Hollywood and we randomly ran into each other all the time.
Let me tell you this.
I would never see them again.
Let me tell you. Never. I am always like every time I go home, there's a little part of me that is like worried I'm gonna run into my ex-boyfriend.
Right. But that's
and,
a small town.
And Springfield is a small city. It's a small city and we have friends in common. And I know that like, you know,
it's a small circle.
Yes. And it's possible. Yeah. You know, it's actually very possible.
Absolutely possible.
But it has not happened once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's not that like
it doesn't really happen.
No.
Not like this. No,
not like
if it
this.
Happened once, I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe. But if it happens over and over and over, yeah. somebody is seeking you out.
Yeah. 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 Because spoiler alert, Brenda was not okay.
No.
So
don't say.
Who hasn't checked up on their ex? Look to see who they're dating. Talk shit about the new girlfriend.
Everyone yes. does that.
Everyone does it. But Brenda took it to a whole nother level. She had all of his passwords, email, iCloud,
too much
keys to his apartment, tracking apps.
What? Nah. Wait, and how? How did? Sorry, I'm shaking
the table.
They
live together.
How did he? But how did she get? I live with Anthony. I have some of his passwords. Yeah. I don't have passwords to fucking everything.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't want them actually. I can barely remember my own motherfucking
exactly.
passwords.
Exactly. Okay? Listen, we have a joint Amazon account, and the number of times I have to ask Chris, Anthony for same. The password.
Chris is always like, what's our Amazon account password again?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm an awful online individual. I had one password that I thought of back in 2008, mm-hmm. and it's my password.
Yep. Christina, you got to change
yeah.
that. Especially for now that you said it on the podcast.
Everything.
Oh, now you must.
You'd never guess it. You would never guess it. And it's a weird combination of things, but it is the password. So, if Dr. Ricky is like me and he's just like, that's the password.
Right.
Chances are it's that.
It's
which like a lot of different
let me
things.
Tell you.
It's like Fingerhut catalog, 1922. Like, it's like, what? But it's for
it's
everything.
Like, it's for everything.
Ricky yeah. sounds
exclamation
like,
point.
Ricky sounds like the type who would have one.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like,
he's
Ricky
just like easygoing.
Not,
he's just yeah. really like chill.
Ricky's
he's,
like, yeah, it totally makes sense that I'm running into her everywhere.
Yeah. He's not a very like suspicious or like he's just
low-key.
Sounds
very smart, honestly. Yeah, and that also bothers me that he's a doctor. Yeah.
He's good at one thing
yeah
one thing only
skin
real good at skin.
So weird.
I do skin well.
Now it's possible that Brenda remained a passive observer of Ricky because she sensed from reading Ricky's emails and that sort of thing that the relationships and the dating that he was doing at this time wasn't gonna last. It's possible that she believed that Ricky deep down still loved her, that all she had to do was stay patient, bide her time,
keep following him around Walmart,
wait for him to come back around. But then he met Kendra.
This is
what hooked me on the story, and this is what made it personal for me. Have you guys ever met somebody that brought out all of your ugly insecurities and jealous rage? Have you ever had that person? I have.
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's ever brought out like rage in me, but definitely I've met people who make me feel inadequate.
Insecure
and inadequate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's part of why like I stopped auditioning as much in person, because like I would feel those feelings of just,
I was dating my ex at the time, and I was still working at the last place I worked in Ohio. And, he was also fooling around with another person that worked there. And I knew about it. It was like an open secret or whatever that he would deny and everything. And this person brought that out in me. It was like just a rage that I've never felt before. And it didn't really become something about my ex. It was more like, I have to win.
I feel that ugly. That competition. Yeah. I definitely feel that. I feel that for real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a that really triggered a real shame receipt for myself. In fact, I'll tell you the shame receipt. It's not great.
No, I actually went as far as looking up how to fuck with a certain model of car. I never did anything, but the fact that I even went that far is so embarrassing to me. And so like I consider myself to be a somewhat hinged individual, but I cannot believe it got to that point where I was looking up details about a car.
Yeah.
Over my ex. That's not a fucking prize.
It's like, not worth it.
But it just that how ugly those insecurities can get where you're like, you're not fucking better than me.
And you just there to me. Okay, so this is what I did. I broke up with my ex, and rightfully so. We weren't meant to be, and it's a good thing. But he immediately, like when I say immediately, like the next day, I was like, we shouldn't live together. He moved in with my best friend at the time.
Oh.
And started dating her, like, best friend.
Okay. But I was like her other best friend.
Like, immediately.
But still, like.
Like, living together, living in the same room together. And I was just like, and I'm still.
Which means there had to have been stuff going on before, because you don't move on that quickly.
Totally. Oh, yeah. It was fast. And honestly, trust me, I'm the winner here. But I know I don't want to disrail this story, but I straight up had sex with one of his friends in the next room just to, and it was like the most spite sex.
Yeah.
To just be like, I do it too. Yeah. I don't know. Like it was just like, and it wasn't even that good. It was just like, I just wanted to be like, I can move on too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is, it's all varying degrees, but everybody has those feelings are normal. For me, I've never had that over a guy, but like I have had it for career stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there have been people, there was a girl I did a play with, gorgeous. And she still works and everything. Lovely, so nice, which sometimes makes it worse.
Yes.
Right? Because like she's so nice and she's in a movie. It's a series of movies. I'm not going to say it, but like she's in a series of one of the movies in the series that we would usually watch because they're scary movies.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so we would usually watch them and Anthony would be like, do you want to watch this? And I won't watch it. Like I won't watch things that she's in because I have this like insane jealousy about her success.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
and then we are also like kind weird people. So then you feel bad for that those feelings.
Because I want to be happy that she's successful, right? Yeah. Like like she didn't do anything to me. Like good for her that she's successful, but it triggers some deep insecurity that I have about myself. You know, like
it's universal. It is. And it's so that feeling like She dated this guy. She put her whole life into this guy. Yeah. 2.5 years.
Which with don't this do that.
Guy.
That's
yeah. Don't do it. Yeah. If you put too much of yourself into anything, it's like that Horcrux thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
you can't do that and yeah. expect to come yeah, out of it.
Split yourself up into multiple things.
Yeah.
Be smart.
Okay, Voldemort.
Okay. So that was basically Kendra for Brenda. Kendra was beautiful when Brenda was pretty. Kendra was rich while Brenda struggled. Kendra was beloved and volunteered and white and perfect and had ensnared the man that Brenda had built her life and her self-esteem around.
Kendra was a dentist while Brenda was a dental assistant.
Yep, exactly.
So it's everything is a step.
Yeah. Yeah. She had devoted her life to Ricky, lived with him, worn his promise ring, posted messages on Facebook about her love for him, gotten pregnant with him and had an abortion, and now she was being replaced by an all-American beauty from a heartland town called Pleasant Plains, someone that Brenda could never be.
So, triggering.
Yeah. It would be triggering. That's true.
So yeah. Brenda began constantly talking to friends, family, anyone about wanting to hurt Kendra. And so, like, once things like got into motion and stuff, people came out of the woodwork and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, she asked me to do this. She said she had a bat and she was gonna, people came out of the woodwork, but so many people were like, but she wouldn't do any of those things. Like, no one took it super seriously. Everyone's just like,
believe
just
people
hurt.
When they tell you what they, yeah.
Yeah,
believe
people. Especially.
But
if,
like, what would we do? Like, with our friends, if somebody was saying that to me, I guess it depends on which friend. Yeah. But in general, if somebody was saying that to me and I didn't know how obsessed they were, I might be like, listen, you need to fucking chill. This is weird and not normal. But I don't know that I would immediately jump to like,
call
they're
going to
do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Well, and even then, calling the police would do no good anyway. But I think that if suddenly, all of a sudden, Christina was like telling me like how much and like, and maybe in detail, like that she wanted to hurt somebody, I'd be like, I think maybe we should
sit and chat.
Like, yeah. Yes. This is not you. And this feels very extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Extra. No one took her seriously. And she just didn't seem like the type that would do anything but talk shit until Crystal. Now, Crystal was the single mother. She was really down on her luck. Like, she happened to meet Brenda through like a roommate that Brenda had at the time. And Crystal just thought, Brenda like has her shit together. She's going to become a dental hygienist. She has her own apartment and she pays bills and stuff. So it didn't take long for Brenda to take Crystal under her wing and basically like get Crystal to hate Kendra as well. Mm. Like Kendra hurt her friend. And so she agreed to help Brenda out with this whole like killing of another person for $500.
Whoa, your friend. $500. $500?
Yes.
Nah.
Just 3 digits?
Yes.
That's not even going to pay half your rent.
Yeah. I bet first your promise ring was more expensive than mine.
I mean, and secondly, okay, girl code.
Nah.
No. Here's what I'm saying. Girl code, you hate a bitch your friends hate.
That's
right. Like that's girl code, right? Like, like if you're like, I hate that bitch, then I'm like, I hate that bitch, and I don't even know her because that
she ain't done shit to me, but you
she
just
done
don't.
Anything to me. But like, you're my friend, so I hate who you hate. Like that's
right.
Girl code.
That is.
Yeah. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll talk shit all day. I will talk trash on this, but I will stalk her Instagram and talk trash on every single selfie. But I will not.
One of my favorite things from the Sex and the City thing is when they're all sitting around and Carrie Bradshaw is like talking shit about Big's new girlfriend.
Yes.
And they're just making fun of her name. They're like, what kind of fucking name is that? And it's like, it's so... Wait.
Christina, Keegan and I have a full hatred for a person that you don't even hate as much as we hate.
No.
We do. And that bitch.
Listen. I will make fun of every single thing.
Everything.
Yes.
But everything.
That's what you do as girl code.
She's probably a perfectly nice person.
Not.
Doesn't matter.
I hate her.
I mostly pity her, but
I don't.
That's just me.
I hate
that
her.
That makes me feel even better.
Yeah.
That's
she's just sad.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm sorry, you're just sad.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're just sad.
So they follow Kendra around Dallas for days, watching her through night vision binoculars.
Oh, that's too much.
And decided the best way to do it was to shoot her. But neither of those women knew how to shoot, nor did they own a gun. So their plan was to drive into Crystal's neighborhood, which was a little rougher, and just roll down the window and ask random people. And they found Christopher Love that way. Just rolled down the window. Hey.
Hey, sir.
They basically were able
to. Can I get in the back seat?
Sure.
What?
Come on. So they basically said that Brenda was a member of a huge drug cartel because she, you know, looks, you know, ethnic enough to pull off that lie, I guess. And she promised him thousands of dollars in drugs and money from the cartel if they could pull off this hit.
Okie dokie. Why are the people in this story so stupid? That is such a bad plan. Like, for so many reasons.
Right.
Right? Because it's like, not only
He's not afraid to kill somebody.
He's clearly not afraid to kill someone. You're lying to him about what you're able to promise him. And you're invoking the name of a drug cartel. It's all bad.
It's bad. Things have literally gone like.
And what do you think happens to a hitman when you don't pay him?
Right.
Like, he doesn't owe you. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So weeks passed. They're like driving around town, following around Kendra. And like nothing's happened beyond that at this point. And maybe nothing would, except Dr. Ricky P sends an email to Brenda being like, listen, I met somebody. Things are going phenomenal. We're moving to California.
So she's about to lose him.
Yes.
Right.
Fully.
Fully. Mm-hmm. Like, they're packing up. They're leaving Dallas and they're moving to California. Oh, and also, you've been on my cell phone plan and I need you to get off my cell phone plan. So
I can't believe he let her on his cell phone plan that long.
He forgot. It didn't matter.
Like, oh shit, that's right.
Yeah.
That's why this bill's so high.
Yeah. So basically, he had been offered a position at a medical practice outside Sacramento. He'd be moving there in October. But first he was gonna go on this magical vacation to Cancun. And he asked Brenda if she knew anybody who would be willing to buy some of the furniture from their apartment.
So he's legit thinking like their relationship is super friendly.
Yeah. He thinks they had an amicable platonic breakup. He's moving on. She seems to be doing fine. Meanwhile, she's so enraged by this that she's driving around with some random dude in the back seat and night vision binoculars, like stalking his girlfriend. Like, so
His radar is.
I really feel like he's pretty oblivious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Gotta be.
You're not doing well.
What world are you living in that you're just like, this is fine?
You're not life and right.
This seems fine.
So Brenda decided that the day of the murder would be September 2nd, the day before the vacation that she snooped and found out about. But by the time the cops had learned all this, Brenda was long gone. So like the murder happened or whatever. They finally put all these pieces together. Brenda deuced out and was like in Mexico, just living under the radar. Anytime that she left like the place that she was staying in, she would always wear sunglasses and a hoodie and everything like that. They ended up having to make her one of like America's most wanted.
Oh shit.
And upping like the amount of money for her capture, which of course finally led to it.
Yeah.
However, Mexico wouldn't extradite her because they were like, no, for death penalty stuff. So they took death penalty off the table. By this point, Crystal had flipped and turned state's evidence in order to get
a plea,
like a softer sentence. Mm-hmm. She got like 35 years. Christopher Love was sentenced to death and did receive the death
penalty. It's Texas.
Oh, shit.
It's Texas. You can't kill people in Texas. You can't look at someone wrong in Texas.
You definitely can't.
Bye-bye, dum-dum.
You can't kill somebody like
Texas as long as they're on your property.
You can't kill someone like Kendra in Texas.
That's right.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
You can't kill a Disney princess in
that's
Texas.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
no,
right. That's right.
They will put you down.
They will literally not even hesitate. So they got her, and, you know, she was pretty much the whole trials, like, she would look down, she wouldn't look up, and then Ricky testified. And, like, the jury got to see, like, literally, she, like, transfixed
that's
on
so
him
fucking weird
the whole time. And he was, like, trying not to, like, look over her direction. And it took the jury 20 yeah. minutes.
No, they're in and out. Yeah. They're not trying to miss in. Lunch. They're,
no.
Bye.
To find
they're
her
like,
guilty.
We actually got plans tonight. This is shutting.
We're all going clubbing after this. Yes. So
it's one of the fastest, like, jury decisions of all time. It's like 20 minutes was actually rounding up.
Oh, Jesus.
So before they found her guilty and sentenced her to
they went in that room and they were like,
prison.
We all feel the same, right? Everybody's yeah. good?
Cool, all
right.
Cool,
we're just,
good?
We're, right, how about Jenna. We just let's sit here for 5 minutes so that they think that we actually talked about it and yeah. go back
someone's,
out there.
Someone's like, I actually have to pee. And they're like, okay, we'll wait.
Right, exactly. right.
And exactly. that's why it took yes. that long.
But I always wonder in stories like this, I'm like, you don't get to be with him anyway.
Yeah.
Like, look at what happened. Yeah. It's like, you don't get to
Did
be
think,
with him
right.
anyway.
Again, somebody is not playing the game consequences.
No, you're not thinking it through from start to finish.
Yeah, it just kind of seemed like her plan was, like, she's like, if I just play it cool and I run into him again, like, he'll get whatever this is out of his system and he'll come back to me. And then, of course, like, the whole, like, addition of Kendra, who is... according to, like, all the articles I read and Datelines, was like a literal saint that walks among us. Mm-hmm. It just snapped her. Mm. Yeah. So that's the story of Brenda Delgado.
Ooh-wee.
Wow.
There you go.
Ooh-wee, wow. Ooh-wee.
And we all got to relive our past moments.
Wow.
Of
wow,
jealous
shame.
Rage.
Jealous shame.
Shame.
Rage.
Shame. Yeah. I know your name.
I think you started this actual thing with being like, have you ever felt this way? And we're like, no, we're pretty normal people. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, jealousy is normal. Like, that, yeah. it's such a normal human emotion. It's just like,
it does make you do weird stuff.
Right. It makes you do weird stuff. It makes you think weird stuff.
It
but
makes
like,
you not like yourself, too.
Right. Oh, it's ways. Awful. Yeah. It's an awful feeling.
Yes, it does. But you feel it. You
someone.
Process it.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you learn a healthy way to cope and move on.
Exactly.
Like, that yeah. is how that's supposed to go.
Oh, my gosh.
Woof.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
Well,
what are we watching this week?
Oh, well, I think I started to mention a little bit. I don't even know if we recorded this part, but we didn't. It was during the break. We talked about Real Housewives last week. That was a crazy week. And so I was just like, I need to, like, not do anything with my brain that means
Real Housewives
requires,
is the best for that.
Yeah.
So you were like, turn on Real Housewives. I'm like, I don't know. And I just turned on Hulu, and there was, like, this, like, investigation ABC thing about Erica Jane and her husband. And I was like, oh, say what? So I watched, like, 5 minutes of it, and I was like, nope, I need to go back. I need to go back in time to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What is happening?
All of these people on all of these Real Housewives shows wow. have so many legal problems. I'm like, what are you doing? What kind of lives are you leading?
Where, yeah.
know, all of you. You're constantly being, like, sued or, you know, just all the time.
More money, more problems.
That's
true. What they say.
I would take a little bit more money for a little bit more problems. Yeah. Like, that seems all right.
Well, my boyfriend, Eric, has decided in the past few days to be obsessed with a brand new television show
Uh-oh.
That I did not know existed.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Called Battle Bots.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. So that has
been
two on
TVs?
Pretty nonstop in our place for the past few. Just like yelling and cheers for different robotic things attacking each other with flames and saws and different things. So it's
you have two TVs,
I love that
right?
journey for him.
Yeah.
Less for you, I feel.
I'm so sorry.
That the two TVs, you know, I was always one of those people who really didn't want a TV in the bedroom. Like, I didn't want a bunch of TV. I didn't want a TV in every room. If it was up to Anthony, we would have, like, a TV in every room, you know? Yeah. And I definitely am not like that. I don't want TVs everywhere. But I will say, I was laying in my bed with cramps like all day yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be able to lay in my bed and watch TV while Anthony watched soccer in the living room.
Perfect.
And just like be like, okay, I, you know, we can just
live our separate lives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
you guys are going to stay together forever now.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I don't have to just like pretend to be interested in soccer until I fall asleep on the couch anymore.
Yeah.
I've been watching Reckoning, which is a show on Netflix. And, you know, it came up as like one, a suggested show for me because I'm always looking for like dark police procedural crime shows. And this one came up and I'm actually really enjoying it. Like the writing is good, not great.
Okay.
But it's basically about a serial killer. Right. Nice. And like him, his life as like a perfect family man who's also a serial killer. And then like the guy who's trying to find him, basically. And I think I've got like one episode left of it. So I love shows like that, that especially on days like that when you're like, I just want to sit in bed and binge something.
I need nothing. Yes.
Because you want to see that mystery solved. Right.
Yeah.
So like I'm enjoying it.
Nice. Awesome. Well, hey, if you guys have stuff that we should watch, stories that we should read out loud, or you just want to reach out and say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworststatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.